Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Appreciate you joining me here on a Saturday morning just after 11 a.m. and joining us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV from the Team 980. It's my pal Chris Russell, the Rooster. Russellmania 621. Throw him a follow on Twitter. What's going on, Chris?
What's up, my guy? How are you? Good morning.
I'm doing pretty good, and we took a lot of calls today in the last hour with the question at number 7 overall, no trading back. Are you going offense or defense for the Commanders?
Yeah, I mean, I'm leaning more defense than offense in general, but that's because I think the pool is deeper there. Of course, it depends on who's there. Now, if you told me Jeremiah Love versus Reuben Bain versus Caleb Downs, just say those are the three main options, right? And not that they would be the only options, but if say that, you know, two defensive guys and one offensive dynamic stud, I would probably still very much lean towards Jeremiah Love at this point, even though I just said I would lean defense. I'm thinking, AWOD, and I don't know how you're thinking, that Jeremiah Love's not going to last to 7. The other thing that, you know, keep in mind, right, is they signed a bunch of guys, but they're on short-term deals on defense, most notably Ke'Lavon Chaisson, and even Nick Cross, if you want to make that argument, right? And Quan Martin's in the Chateau Bow Wow, and Will Harris is only on the Chateau Bow Wow. It's the French doghouse, man. You never heard that term?
I mean, can you tell me more?
What more do you want to know? It's the French doghouse. It's where you don't want to be.
Do you have the German doghouse? Is that the Schnitzelhaus?
probably not. It's an old man reference. Okay, you got to remember how much older I am than you, AY.
Yeah, that was amazing. Can you say it one more time? I'm confused.
The Chateau Bow Wow. The French doghouse, man. I can't believe you've never heard that term.
I watched Like Mike, I know about Lil Bow Wow, but no.
No, this is very different. This is very anyway, just to go on further. Like, I lean defense because even though they made most of their improvements on defense, they're short-term contracts. And let's be honest, they need all the help they can get. A, injuries. B, lack of production from certain guys that fell apart last year, i.e. Quan Martin, Frankie Louvu slipped back, so on and so forth, right? So, again, I find myself, like, more candidates on defense, more likelihood leaning towards defense. But if Jeremiah Love is there at 7 and the right prospect to kind of get me out of my mindset of Jeremiah Love and his specialness isn't available at 7, then, you know, I'm willing to take Jeremiah Love. Or, and I know you said no trade back, do you treat Jeremiah Love, if he's there at 7, regardless of who else is available, do you treat him as like that QB2 option? What
right.
I mean by that is, in lieu of a QB2, right, because Ty Simpson, I mean, he is, but he really isn't, do you treat Jeremiah Love as that trade chip that everybody wants and wants to move up for?
Yeah, no, well said there. And I also think it kind of depends your personal narrative for this team. Like the callers that we've taken, I was losing my mind with those blaming the offense for last season. Like, what games did you watch? Because the defense lost every single game, it felt, for us last season. I'm all in on defense. Like, you could convince me Jeremiah Love if he's available. If not, I'm all in on defense. I'm so out on Carnell Tate. We played the clip on B. Mitch and Finley. They compared him to A.J. Green. Like, that's exciting. I would do that next year is when I would draft the running back if you're going or wide receiver in the top 10. For me, it's defense full stop unless they fall in love with Jeremiah Love. But my whole thing is like the goal for this offseason was to rebuild the defense and tear it down to the scraps and build it back up. And I think they've done a good job and they've got momentum. But you add Avril Reese, you add Sonny Styles, you add Caleb Downs.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about a really good defense.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, you still have to execute even with all those options and all those guys that you could potentially add, right? And all the guys that they've, again, already added through free agency. And again, keep in mind that some of the guys, not obviously Adafi Owe, are on short-term deals. So, again, I don't think anything that they've done excludes anyone, any position. Now, to use your argument that, like, maybe next year you add the wide receiver, I think what they're kind of thinking, and I think this was their approach during free agency when they swung big for Alec Pierce, when they apparently were in hard on Romeo Doubs, which I wouldn't have really loved depending on the price.
Not to cut you off, but I'm glad we didn't get Alec Pierce or Doubs. I didn't want those guys.
Okay, but were they thinking, hey, Terry's going to be probably not here after this year? And Terry was banged up last year. So, A, we need a complement this year, but more importantly, we need a number one next year. And if you draft a number one, say you ignore wide receiver and go defense, which, again, I would not have a problem with this year, and say you don't take a wide receiver and a wide receiver deep class, say, in the third or the fifth round, somebody that you really like, somebody that develops, what have you, then you're kind of forced into a desperate situation next year because Terry's probably not going to be here, and maybe McCaffrey, maybe Jalen Lane don't exactly develop the way you want. Maybe you didn't, you know, because you struck out on Pierce. So anyway, there's all these scenarios that are running through my mind of why good organizations usually take and fix and address problems a year in ahead. And if you think about it, right, they kind of did that with the drafting of Johnny Newton, right? Kind of looking at it and saying, okay, Jonathan Allen probably only has 1 year left. Let's take Johnny Newton, 36 overall. If you look at, again, just the kind of thought process that they've used on some of their picks, they're thinking a year or so ahead. So that's why I would not rule out a wide receiver at seven. Now, if you're telling me Carnell Tate over Jeremiah Love over Caleb Downs over over David Bailey, no, I wouldn't do that. I also wouldn't go. Jordan Tyson might be the most talented wide receiver in this class, but he's always hurt. I can't do that. But now if we're talking about trading back, maybe I can talk myself into that. You know, just like I can certainly talk myself into Mansoor Delane, and I know I'm all over the place here, the corner who's a local kid and who finished up at LSU, I could talk myself into him at seven. I could talk myself into trading back for him at 9, 10, 11, somewhere in that range. I could do all of that in my mind. The beauty of where they're at, and also the confusing part of where they're at, is they have a lot of different options and a lot of ways they can go depending on how the board falls to them.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned next year you might be desperate for a wide receiver. It sounds like a pretty good year to be desperate with the guys that are going to be available next year in the draft at wide receiver. Right? I mean, Jeremiah Smith, Ryan Williams. I mean, dude, Those were like the best players this year. Like, they're just not available yet, you know?
No, it's a good point. It's a really good point by you, and I haven't even thought that far in advance, but you're right. You bring out a couple of those guys, no doubt. You just don't want to be in a desperate situation is how I look at it. And, you know, again, they want to add somebody this year to help out Terry, to help out Jaden, to help out the offense, because they know if something happens to Terry, they're kind of screwed. And I don't think that somebody added was to bring back Deebo Samuel, unless Deebo is looking for, you know, or would accept a very, very, very small contract. I don't think they were ever in the bring back Deebo at 1 year, $18 million, $20 million. Don't forget, they still have to pay like $12 million under their cap this year because of the cap maneuvering from last year for Deebo Samuel. Even if he's not going to be on the roster, they got to pay $12 million under the cap this year one way or the other. The point being is they need somebody not only for next year, but they do need somebody for right now because you can't count on McCaffrey. You can't count on Jalen Lane. McCaffrey is an interesting one for me, though. I don't know how you feel. From the standpoint of they want to use him more in the slot, he's got the size, and I thought he started to develop and started to come around right before the injury, and then that knocked him out. So I'm really curious to see year three, so far now removed from being a college quarterback, what Luke McCaffrey brings to this offense.
Yeah, I think Adam Peters has a vision of him being wide receiver two in the future and wide receiver three if healthy to start this season. Want to do a couple rapid-fire things with you, Chris. Brandon Ayuk, a Commander, chances 50% or higher?
I would say higher than 50% if Adam Peters is and Jaden Daniels and the Commanders are making the decision. It would be lower than 10% if I was making the decision.
I mean, to me, it's happening. It's not if, it's when. He will be a Commander. It's part of why I'm not into Tate at number 7 overall. Bobby Wagner returns or does not return?
I'm going to say does not return at this point, but I won't rule it out because they don't have a proven Mike linebacker at this point that has, you know, called plays successfully and all the time. Leo Chanel is not that guy. Now, he could move into that role, but based on what I've heard, based on what I've heard him talk about, he's not really that guy, and Jordan McGee's still got some ways to go. There's a reason why Jordan McGee, despite all of his speed and athleticism, wasn't on the field over Bobby Wagner a lot.
Chances that Daron Payne is on the roster day one?
At this point, I would say 95%.
All right. I love that answer. Because I think he would be perfect with this change that they're making on the line with the defense now run by Durante Jones. And then
you bet. I don't need you to be perfect, Awad. I need you to be a lot better and a lot more impactful at $28 million under the cap, please.
Diami Brown, playoffs and regular season combined with the Commanders that year, he was 550. For the regular season, are you taking over or under 550 yards for Diami Brown?
Oh, I love this question. I'm going to go under, but not that much under. I think Diami Brown, because of his deep speed and his vertical threat, if you remember, of course, the in the Detroit playoff game, yes, but also against Philadelphia in that regular season crazy win in mid-December, he had a big 51-yard bomb right up the Commander's sideline that really turned that game around. So I'm going to go under 550, but I'm going to say, I'll call it 500 in the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very excited about Diami Brown's return. It was one of those things where I kept saying on my show, he's going to make almost $10 million because he balled out in the postseason. Jaguars paid him, but now I'd happily have him back. And, I mean, it wasn't just the games, like, also against Cleveland. He had a big catch, and it's just the threat of him down the sideline. Like, you'd have to look into how many pass interference penalties he got called because of his speed, and I think that was certainly missing. You got that a little bit from Luke McCaffrey, but Jaden Daniels has a strength on throwing those deep balls, and we needed another guy that can run those routes.
Well, and again, just to that point, right, what happens if Terry – is banged up or injured or lost for a period of time? You didn't have anybody that had polish and experience that could do that last year. Jalen Lane does not have the polish and experience. I don't even know if he's got the hands as a wide receiver just yet. So you need somebody who can stretch and really kind of threaten the defense to loosen things up for all the things that you want to do over the middle of the field. And a big part of that should be Chigakonkwo, right? But you've got to have somebody that loosens something up and puts the fear of, I don't know, maybe it's not the fear of the football gods, but the fear of something in you, or you're just going to squat on all of that short stuff and underneath stuff, which is, I think, what happened when Terry was lost, and then Debo got banged up, and they started jumping all those screen routes and all the short stuff, and then the offense was out of whack and rhythm. So that's why Diami's present, and Van Jefferson can get over the top, too. Now, I don't know if he's going to make the roster, but Van Jefferson can get behind people, too.
Yeah, no, I wasn't mad about that signing at all. I teased before I brought you on. I love having Chris Russell on the show because I get to test my takes against a professional rather than my dumb friends. And I said earlier today, Rooster, the theme of the offseason from what Adam Peters has done, to me, it's guys that have yet to peak, but they're inching closer to that. And I think every single guy that they brought in free agency, the hope is we'll re-sign them to another contract.
Yeah, I think that's a very reasonable approach. I mean, you know, we know that they're attracted to the high RAS scores. We know that they're attracted to high-end athletes. We know that they want versatility, exchangeability. You know, again, Leo Chanel can play inside. He can play outside. He can play on the edge. Adofe Awe can play on both sides and can do different things, right? I can go down the list. But I would say that you are trying to find, and I think this is the point you're trying to make, is finding guys that are just about to hit their crescendo, yeah, just about to hit their prime. And if you get 3 good years out of them, then you do an extension with them into their 30s, depending on how and who and what have you. And remember, these are guys that they picked. Okay, so everybody's going to say, well, they didn't want to pay Terry when he was, you know, 30. Well, they didn't pick Terry, right? And I'm not saying they hate Terry. They obviously did a contract extension with him, but it was protracted and drawn out. Guys like Owe, guys like Nick Cross, guys like Leo Chanel, those are – Kalyvon Chaisson might be a perfect example, right? Because you only paid him a 1-year deal. That, I mean, if he balls out and if he gives you 8 sacks, and if you really like him, you're going to want to do an extension sooner than free agency. So that's kind of the point that I think you're trying to make, and I would agree.
Yeah, and I think that's the correct way to build a franchise. You sign guys that they will develop, and then you will re-sign them. And I know people wanted the big sexy name like Max Crosby or Trey Hendrickson. And here's what I would argue. None of the guys they brought in are currently household names, but like you say, they have the potential. Who would be that guy? Who would you predict becomes a household name that was brought in free agency this year?
I'm going to go with, and maybe it's not as sexy as Owe, who's going to have more sacks, but I would go Leo Chanel is, I think, going to be a mega fan favorite. I think people are going to love that he plays with his hair on fire, love that he's physical, love that he blitzes and sniffs out the run and attacks holes and blows people up and doesn't miss a ton of tackles and can actually run. Now, again, if you make him be the green dot, you know, that does that rob him of some of his freedom and explosiveness? That I don't know yet, but ultimately I think he's going to be the guy that's going to pop more often than not.
WrestleMania 621, Chris Russell, check out his show on the Team 980, 1-4, and always available on the Odyssey app. Thanks a lot, dude. Have fun at the chateau.
Hopefully I am not in the Chateau Bow Wow. How about that?
That's Chris Russell. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up is AWOD, live and local, here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital, D.C. Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. And earlier this week, the Washington Commanders teased via social media they'll be rocking new threads for the 2026 season and beyond, with new uniforms revealed on April 15th, just a week before the start of the NFL draft. All right? The Commanders have 3 primary uniforms, the home jersey, the burgundy, the white worn on the road, and the all black. And I'm not a fan of the all black, but of course we have the Hail Mary game in the all black. I have told everyone I like the crisp white jersey with the burgundy lettering and burgundy numbers with the white trim around the outside. I like it white and clean, and then when it gets dirty with grass and brown stains because Riggins has trucked someone or Clint Portis, you know, ran someone over and fell to the ground, that's what I like to see. So I like the whites the best. And, you know, I know this new generation, this Gen Z, they love talking about jerseys and helmets and all that stuff. And obviously, Washington had one of the most iconic helmets of all time. And never say it's never coming back. Dan Snyder said we would never change the name, and he did. But it's not coming back in my mind. But I think there is a chance that they can play off of the past, and that is either a feather or a spear. And there is one movie that has had a massive impact on my life, and that's because for my 14th birthday, my dad took me to see the movie 300. And I'm sure it was because I was a kid and there were boobs and there was amazing fighting. But I have thought about that movie for 20 years now. And King Leonidas, played by Gerard Butler. And that Spartan spear and that logo, that would be awesome on a helmet, on a jersey. That is what I am rooting for. I want to see, like, all right, You can't go with the old name, but can you go thousands of years in the past? Right? And I heard B. Mitchum Finley talking about like a Game of Thrones type warrior. I want a commander of the Greek and Roman army. That's the look that I am in love with. I love that. It screams violence, right? It's intensity. It's kill or be killed, right? If you step on the gridiron, it's a war. I want to see a warrior looking like someone from 300 from that movie. And so if you could go with some kind of imagery like that on a helmet, on the side, a spear, right? With, I mean, just the blood burgundy. I love that. I would love that. I don't know that I'm going to really enjoy what they do with the new jersey, because I have a feeling the logo on the helmet will still be the W. I hate the W so much. We went from the most iconic logo, I would argue, in the history of sports, hate it, love it, think it's racist, think it's fine, to one of the worst. To one of the worst. Like, I get it. We're not going to get the helmet back that I grew up loving and buying jerseys and T-shirts and having it all over my wall. My entire wall was decked with it growing up. I'm not going to get that back. I understand that. But the W sucks. The W is stupid. Give me a feather, right? You can't give me the whole logo. Can you give me a smidget of it? Can you give me 1/10 of it? Give me the feather or a spear or something that reminds me of, you know, Greco-Roman army.
Can I get your opinion on that, like the circle with a W in it? With
sucks.
The spears behind it?
Circle W with spears?
Yeah, like cross spears, like in an X shape behind the circle.
Are you making this up, or
I've seen this on some stuff. Like, it's not on the uniforms.
I'm seeing it on Facebook. You never trust Facebook. Yeah, I don't hate that, but I'm not a fan of the W. I've never said that the team is the W. We've been the R. I don't like the W. Not a fan. I also don't like the patch that they came out with, or the 1932. But spears are cool. Spears are cool. A feather would be the coolest. I don't know if you could do that. But I don't have tremendous passion for the jerseys. I guess I do have a little bit of passion for the W. But it's just funny how this has been such a big story this week, of a teaser video for something that will be released on April 15th. I'm way more into talking about the draft and talking about the free agents, but it's such a hot topic I wanted to weigh in. Do you agree with me on the movie 300? Like, did you see that at a different point in your life? Like, that thing made a massive impact on my life. I loved that movie. That movie was freaking awesome. Badass. Give me that spear. Give me King Leonidas leading out the Commanders to win a game. That sounds good. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. So Washington's named a bunch of guys in free agency, and I wanted to rank who I think will be the most impactful this season. We brought in Adafe Owe, Rashad White. You heard Chris Russell talking about Leo Chenal. I think that Clavon Chaisson is going to be an interesting signing. Chigakonkwo, very excited to see him create some highlights on the offensive side of the ball. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Drew, who's calling from Rice University. What's up, Drew? You're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, dog? Just want to say, first and foremost, me and my pop sitting right here, my granddad, he recently had a 77th birthday. He's been a Redskins fan for as long as I can remember, a Commanders fan ever since we were told we had to. But this guy's Hollywood Saponi. So I'm not saying like he speaks for all of us, but the statue on top of the Capitol Dome here in D.C., it would be such a great model for how you should design a helmet, because it would take away the aspects of it that have something to do with culture. And clearly, if we don't get a coach that understands having that 300 mentality is the only way we're going to be winning a Super Bowl, we're going to be cycling through coaches like it's the 80s. So I don't know what's necessarily anyone's outlook on how important the jerseys are in terms of converting wins. But as a defense-first guy, I know that if I got on some all-black jerseys or even some all-white jerseys, I feel like a heat-seeking missile. So,
I appreciate
shout
that.
Shout out to y'all.
Hey,
man,
shout out to you. So you are a Commanders fan. Your dad's a Commanders fan. Your grandfather also?
I can't really speak for them because I don't think they know ball as well as I do. But I've definitely made sure I keep up with training camp shit damn near every year since I was about 7. I played rugby and soccer most of my life, but before I did any of that, I was okay playing some nickel. But all seriousness, the team is in such a great spot in terms of what they can look forward to over the next few years if we get right the part. About Jaden's development. I'm a huge Jaden Daniels guy, huge fan, love LSU football, but no quarterback who has ever been impactful in the league for more than 10 years could ever tell you that they didn't have a defensive back room that they genuinely were afraid of.
Yeah.
We need that. We need that. That's Darryl Green days. That's like, it's imperative. Because if you have a quarterback, that's what happened in Chicago a couple years ago with Williams, in my opinion. Had a bunch of DBs who were great as talents and great as individuals, but there was no level of like, you know, this is a zone or a man-to-man situation you don't want to ever mess with. The second we have a DB room that looks like they don't take serious Jaden being able to win games, we'll be winning games left and right with the amount of points the defense is putting on the board, and Jaden can really be calm in the pocket. But when he thinks he has to put up 40 points a game, no chance, man.
Yeah. No, I appreciate you calling in. Good stuff. I'm with you. We got to build up the defense side of the ball and let Jaden ball on the offensive side. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. So we're tracking all the moves the Commanders have made this offseason, and I wanted to rank them. And look, I think the obvious one is Adafe Owe. Like, you pay him $100 million, you want him to be your number one player. Like, that's it's as simple as that. I don't think he's going to end up being the most impactful player, because I actually really like a few other guys, but you paid him $100 million, $68 million guaranteed. You're asking him to produce double-digit sacks every single year. Like, I'm telling you, if he gets 9 sacks this year, that's a disappointing season. If he's not a double-digit sack guy every single year, it's disappointing. No doubt about that. But I think he has to be at the top of the list because of the money he's going to make. Number two for me is Chega Conquo. I have been looking for a tight end. Now, you know, we talked about this offseason. Like, Kyle Pitts and Isaiah Likely were ahead of Chega Conquo. Maybe I didn't know enough about Chega Conquo, because everything I've seen recently since Washington signs him points to this guy coming in here and being a stud, because Jaden Daniels really does like to find his tight ends, and if he can find a Conquo in space, this guy's going to have a ton of games with more than 50 yards. I think so. I think he's going to have a ton of games with like 60 yards this season because of his ability to catch and run. And you look at what Ertz did this past year with 504 yards, and I guess we should really look at 2024 when he was even more impactful for Washington, nearly 700 yards and at almost 800 when you consider the postseason. Like, Zach Ertz was an average of 5 catches, 55 yards, right? And I think you can get that from a Conquo. Now, he does. I don't think he has the hands that Zach Ertz has. I don't think he runs the right routes. It just feels like you have to find a way to get him the ball in space. And the Titans were able to run a few tight end screens for him. They got him the ball in the flat. They got him the ball on the outside a few times where he could make a guy miss, right, and then take off. And look, he's not proven yet. He's not proven. None of these guys really that were brought in were proven, but it does feel like they're all banging on the door, right? Like, hey, let us in to that elite club. We're almost there. And I'm expecting him to be the second most impactful player that we bring in this offseason. Number three, I'm going to say Nick Cross, because the stats say that he is a run stopper like none other. I mean, it is so cool when you look at what Nick Cross did the last two seasons for the Indianapolis Colts. And, of course, local guy. You know, you could find tweets from him complaining about the Commanders, the Redskins at the time when he was a kid. Love everything about that. 24 years old, coming off of a really strong 120-tackle season. 2.5 sacks, got in the backfield a few times. Now, he's not a big interception guy, but I think he is the run stopper that this team needs. and hopefully the pass stopper is Will Harris. I go back to the last year at training camp and was asking all the players about Will Harris. They all told me he's going to stop tight ends. He's going to be great against wide receivers in the slot. He's going to be really good against running backs. They all thought Will Harris was going to be that stopper in the secondary, and he got hurt, and it disrupted his entire season. And even when he was healthy, I don't think he was as good as they expected, but he's an Adam Peters guy. Chris Russell's talked about it. I've talked about it. Anybody that they've brought in, they believe in, and it's on their resume. So they want to make sure that it looks good on their resume and not a blemish like Marshawn Lattimore, who I don't blame them for the move, but that's forever going to be the biggest mistake Adam Peters has made since he got here to Washington. And Nick Cross, like, I'm going to say he's number three because I'm expecting him to have two double-digit tackle games this year. He might be, like, second on the team in tackles. I think he's going to do a great job of helping this team in terms of stopping the run. That's got to be what he's brought in here to do. Number four, it's going to be interesting what we get, if we get anything from Akella Witherspoon, if we get anything from Amik Robertson, what will we get from the corners? Are we going to be relying on just Amos and Sainer still to be our number one and number two and to stay healthy throughout the season and be our stoppers in the secondary? Could it be one of the guys that we brought in there? I'm going to go with Leo Chenal next. And the athleticism, the speed, the ability to do that cross-dog blitz that Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu have done so well in the last few years, I think that's what Chenal will do with Washington. 3 years, $24 million. Like, I think he's prime. Of all the guys we brought in, I don't think he's going to be the most impactful this year. But as Chris Russell said, I think, you know, fans are going to fall in love with the fact that he runs around with his hair on fire, the way he it can be a blitzer, and his range on the defensive side of the ball. But I think of all the guys, he's going to be the one where Commanders fans in 2 years are going to be like, he needs a new contract. We can't lose Chenal. We can't lose Chenal. We need to pay him now. Need to pay him now. Like, he signed a 3-year deal. I'm saying in 2 years, Commanders fans are going to be craving more Leo Chenal. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll close out the show next on The Fan. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. In Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. That's where you can check me out Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Downloaded today for free anywhere you get your apps at. Just search AWOD Radio for the podcast on the Odyssey app or 910 The Fan to hear me Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. And I love doing this Saturday show on 106.7 The Fan. I'm always locked in on the Odyssey app to catch up to the sports junkies. B. Mitch and Finley and Grant and Danny drive you home. And we've got such a great team here at 106.7 The Fan. And I'm so happy that I'll be handing it off to a friend of mine coming up next, Nick Ashew. We're going from the East Coast to Hollywood. Mr. Hollywood, Nick Ashew, is going to be hosting up next on 106.7 The Fan. He's going to be bringing on David Harrison from Locked In Commanders, and I'm sure they'll have a similar conversation to what we've been having throughout the show today. Nick Ashew, we've been talking about that number 7 overall pick for the Washington Commanders. You know, how long do you think until Adam Peters is locked in? Like, do you think he knows who he wants at number 7 right now? Or is he still waiting? Is it going to be about who is gone? Or is he, you think he's got a guy?
I think they got a couple of guys, you know, and there's a couple of different scenarios. I mean, you know how a lot of these draft situations are, is you've got your big board, you've got your choices that you really want, the guys that you hope are going to be there, and, you know, Fernando Mendoza's obviously not on their board, and maybe they'd like to see Arvell Reese drop all the way to them, but it's probably not going to be the case. It's just interesting because, like, if you look where the Commanders are now at 7, there's going to be at least the potential, barring, like, true chaos, which, by the way, is still a real possibility here, barring any, like, true chaos above them, multiple teams trading up, couple of guys really falling that nobody expected, Commanders are in a spot where you're going to have multiple players on the board that are truly talented players worthy of that spot at 7. The question becomes whether you want to look at offense and go with a luxury pick like a running back, or go with the smart pick and go with somebody on the defensive side of the football.
Yeah, and they've done such a great job building up the defense in free agency. I feel like you've got so much momentum. Keep it going. Give me Avril Reese. Give me Sonny Styles. Keep building up the defense.
My man, I love hearing that. Thank you.
Dude, I've been fighting everyone all day. It's because this fan base, and someone said it, they want to play fantasy football. And Tate or Love are the fantasy players.
Well, I mean, this whole notion, and listen, I get it. Like, Jeremiah Love is a insanely talented player, and I've talked about this for a couple of years now, as we've had sort of the rebirth of the running back. It's like the rebirth of the big in the NBA. Big went away, and then these seven-footers came back, and they're running the court like point guards and stretching out their arms like, you know, Michael Jordan in Space Jam. And it's just, they look different, but so do running backs now, certain ones. I know Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs are an extreme, but you kind of can put Jeremiah Love at this point, from what we've seen in college, in that mold of the potential. He could end up being like them. So that makes them far more than just running backs. They are pass catchers out of the backfield. They're versatile. They're weapons. They're offensive weapons, those types of running backs. But that's a luxury pick. And quite frankly, if you're the Commanders right now, you don't have that luxury to spend on a Lamborghini. You need to sit here and focus on an actual SUV, a Ford F-150, a dually, if you will, that's going to be on the defensive side of the football that you can trust, that you can count on, that's going to make plays for a defense that was so bad. Awad, well, you know this, obviously, but this defense was so bad. They're not in a position where they can be like, well, this is a fun pick. We could use a running back. You signed a bunch of running backs this offseason. You're done there. You want to draft somebody later? Fine, at running back. I'm fine with that. But you've got to get somebody that can be a difference maker on defense, because this defense needs an anchor there. They need somebody that's going to make plays, get after the football, play multiple positions. If Sonny Styles is on that board at 7, you do not hesitate, you do not wait, you draft Sonny Styles, because he can play multiple positions for you. This defense was just, like, I'm sorry, you're not in a position where you can sit here and look at what happened last year and go, ah, it's fine, we'll just, no, more defense, more defense, more defense. I don't want to hear about weapons for Jaden Daniels. He's a weapon himself, I get it. It'd be nice to go out there and draft a bunch of wide receivers and running backs, but right now you have got to focus on a defense, because it doesn't matter how many weapons you have on offense, if you're down 14-0 again every first quarter like it was past season.
Yeah, there's just, people have a personal narrative. Like, I hate that some people are saying that Cliff Kingsbury's at fault for this past season. That's not why they fired him. That's not why they fired him. He's going to be a successful coach again. The offense was not the problem. It was all defense. Almost every single game, you have to improve the defensive side of the ball. And my thing is like, I'm very Dan Quinn. I'm very pro Dan Quinn. I love him, that he's our head coach. I'm fighting anybody that wanted to fire him. And so I want to give him all the tools. I want to give him all the talent, because I believe it's not his schemes. I don't believe it's his coaching. I believe the cupboard was bare. We had zero talent because of Ron Rivera and Jack Del Dum Dum.
Man, that era that they've had to clean up, this is what people forget. And we got spoiled because of the 12-win season the first year. This team vastly overachieved, so it was like, well, we're a contender now. No. Last year what happened was the football gods came back for receipts and said, we're going to expose all the deficiencies this roster has, and they did in a very, very mean way. But let's be honest, this team lacked depth and it lacked talent overall. It had some pieces, but they also weren't the same team from 2024 to 2025 anyway.
Yeah, right. Right, and so offensively, I want to see this team run the ball more, but does that mean we have to go out and get Jeremiah Love? No. And Nick, I've been saying there's a chance the Saints move on from Alvin Kamara post-June with the money they just paid ETN. There's a chance somebody else becomes available that would be an upgrade over Bill, over what we've got in our building right now. It doesn't. If you want a better running back, it doesn't have to be Jeremiah Love.
No, and listen, you could get somebody in, you know, you could go into the third round and maybe there's a running back that you're going to take there, like a Jadarian Price out of also Notre Dame, right? I mean, he's 5'10", 203, he's bigger. Like, there's somebody there that's going to be, you know, fill that position. Here's the thing, like, running back is great to draft in the first round if they can do what Jeremiah Love does. But again, it goes back to, like, they don't have all of those pieces. And I'm with you. Like, there are other names that could be on the market. And I know people are going to be like, oh, well, Alvin Kamara, he's washed. Well, it's not about long term. It's about this year. Not every position. There's a lot of positions of need on this team. Not everything's going to be filled in 1 year. Rebuilds take multiple years. This was essentially this past season, year one of the rebuild, because 2024 basically doesn't count.
Yeah. No, yeah. Hey, Nick, what do you got coming up on your show? Are you interested in the college basketball in the nation's capital? What are the big stories coming up?
Well, sir, I have proof that people don't love Cinderellas as much as they think they do, my friend. And David Harrison also joining us as well. I heard you tease that. We do a podcast together, so we will. He was actually out at Ohio State Pro Day, so we'll get a little insight as to what was going on there as well.
I will be tuning in because I do love Cinderella. I don't love Snow White. I'm not a fan. Give me Cinderella every single year. Give me some team. Give me Oakland. I don't even know where they are. Give me Jack Golke. Give me Cinderella every year. I'm going to have to listen to your show.
All right. Fair enough, buddy. Sounds good.
Yep. Appreciate you hopping on with me. Everybody check out Nick Ashew coming up next here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Appreciate you guys listening to the show. Thanks to Chris Russell for hopping on. Thanks to everybody that tweeted us at AWAD Radio, AWADDRADIO. Thanks to Metal Chris doing a great job running the ones and twos and all the callers we had today. I'll see you guys next Saturday on The Fan.